In a world of conflicting values, when questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Now, here's the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church.
Well, good morning. Hope you're enjoying your summer. It's already the last day of July. Hate to inform you of that, but bring you good news here from Word for Life. Thank you for joining us today. And I'm Mark Widmer, joining Pastor Ken Keltner and Pastor Greg Huffman. And we are continuing in the book of Revelation. God's telling us what is to come in the future. And we as Christians believe in the very near future that this is going to happen. Chapter 11 talks about during the tribulation period, God will have two primary witnesses who for 3.5 years will testify and preach the gospel of him to the Jews in Jerusalem and beyond. And we are looking at them. We've seen thus far their identity. We've speculated as to specifically who they are, if they be Elijah and Moses, and there seems to be great evidence for that. We've seen their power, how God has protected them for these 3.5 years, but yet one day they are killed, and Pastor Ken's going to pick up this morning on that to talk about how hated these witnesses were.
So let's begin here with Pastor Greg. Why don't you read verses 9 and 10 here for us? Because as he reads, just think through this. The greatest insult to any deceased individual is to withhold burial, to leave them and their bodies just to rot and decay.
Right.
Maybe out in the open. With that, let's look at verses 9 and 10.
And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3.5 days, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth.
The text says here, the world will watch them where they lie out in the open. After they've been killed, they're just going to leave them in the street.
And for years, I read that passage and I thought, how in the world is the world going to be able to watch them? But now, of course, with the internet and everything else, we can see things happening anywhere around the world, like
almost right at that moment.
I guess God knew what he was talking about.
Satellites and internet.
Exactly.
I mean, probably years ago, pastors struggled, you know, with, well, how is that going to happen?
They can take pictures and send them, but to see it when it's happening, really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, really.
In fact, what's interesting is the Greek here indicates that it is a continued action of watching them lie in the street. Mm. People can't take their eyes off of, they're finally dead.
Everybody likes reality TV and so forth, and this will be part of it.
We know the Jews believed that the soul of a person hovered over their body for 3 days. So how long do they lie in the streets? 3.5 days to basically prove, okay, they're finally dead.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Someone wrote this about those two verses. It's like the Antichrist's Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sending gifts to each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a party. It's a celebration like nothing before during the tribulation. It literally galvanizes the human race into an absolute euphoria. As you mentioned, they're going to send gifts, cards, and presents to one another. Interestingly enough, this is the only time you see rejoicing during the Great Tribulation period.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah.
This, in effect, is the world's last Mardi Gras. It also reveals, I believe, the depth of unbelief and hatred of the world for the glory of God and his witnesses on the earth. They hated him. And my friends, they will hate us. Well, at this point in the narrative that we're reading about here, life is good as far as the world is concerned. Those two problem prophets, they're toast, they're gone. It's a great day to be alive again. Or is it? Heaven takes on all of this in a radically different way. And God steps forward, and now God acts with definite power and clarity. Get ready to turn out the lights. The party is over.
Mm-hmm.
Verses 11 to 14, God's terror is going to be on display because God's going to honor his servants. We see that in verses 11 and 12.
Now, after the 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet, and great fear fell on all those who saw them. And they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, "Come up here." And they ascended to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies saw them.
I bet they did have fear.
Don't you know it?
This isn't the rapture, my friend. That takes place when the church vanishes in the twinkling of an eye. This is more like what they saw there on the Mount of Olives when Jesus ascended. They watched him go. They're watching them being transported back into heaven. Have you ever heard of the old proverb that says, "He who laughs last, laughs best"? Now, what is the lesson here? Well, it's all about the supernatural, obviously. But there is another lesson. And what is that lesson? That we not fear ultimate destruction, for we are preserved until we finish our task. God has Satan on a leash. He may be able to put us to death, but we're still supernaturally preserved. To be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. Someone said, "You can't intimidate me with death."
Mm-hmm.
As a believer, we can know we're going to stand precious in the sight of the Lord or the death of his saints.
Somebody said, "You can't threaten me with heaven."
No, that's a good way of putting it too, yeah. It's like the sign I saw outside the church. It said, "Free ticket to heaven. See details inside."
Yeah.
Well, not only does God honor his servants, God's going to deal with sinners. Verses 13 and 14. Pastor Greg, if you want to read verses 13 and 14 for us.
"And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were frightened, gave glory to God of heaven. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly."
By the way, this is the only reference to repentance following a disaster in the tribulation. This reference to giving glory to God is a mark of genuine repentance and belief in the Messiah. Most of the world, though, will still reject their testimony, but some, I found that interesting, some will actually believe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, back in chapter 6, their revival was, "God, let the rocks fall on us that we may die."
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Here, there are some that, boy, this earthquake, I mean, I haven't ever been through an earthquake, but man, when I read this, it must have been an earthquake like none other.
Mm-hmm. Well, when a tenth of the city just
crumbles
to the ground.
Yeah.
You know, that has a way of getting your attention.
Yeah. There's still some that aren't going to even believe at this point.
Exactly.
That's where you see the second woe is past. Behold, the third is coming.
Yeah.
So that's telling us it's not over.
Mm-hmm.
And it still will be coming. And we're talking about God's wrath. But God still, with his wrath, I just am amazed all through my study, is still demonstrating his mercy by giving people opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to turn to Jesus for their salvation.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, when you read all of this, when you see what God has said, and you see everything fitting into really the picture and the, I guess you could say, the socket of prophecy, can you, as a believer, see we're on the winning side?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. It is. Yeah. So stand up for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how rejected, ignored, or even ridiculed you are, or possibly even persecuted you may be, the world will not party for very long before the Lord returns. It's true for those in Revelation 11. It's true for us today. And so, friends, may we make Christ known in the world today by our walk and by our talk. I find that most people have problems wanting to tell people about Christ because their life really is no different than the unsaved world. Mm-hmm. And I'm always amazed the unsaved world really has higher standards for believers than believers actually have for themselves.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 1 Peter 3:15 says we're supposed to always be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies in us. To give an answer when we're questioned, well, problem is very few of us are questioned about our hope, maybe because there's very few of us that are really that much different.
Well, that is a great point. That is. In the same way, my friends, as these two witnesses, the issue is not the response of the world. The issue here is our obedience to the Word of God and to be a witness now. The truth is that you may never know the impact of your testimony on the campus or in the school or in the corporate setting, in the home, until the day when you are rewarded by Christ for saying, I'll be a witness for my Lord. You know, the old spiritual song asks the question, who'll be a witness for my Lord?
Yeah.
And the answer we must return is, I'll be one. I'll be one. Here am I. Send me. I'll be one. I'll be a witness for my Lord. I hope if you haven't gotten anything out of Revelation 11, our hearts have been challenged again with we know what's coming and we should be telling people and warning people about what is going to take place. You look at the world today, people are wondering what in the world is happening.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, you can tell
you.
Yeah.
They know the name Armageddon. Mm-hmm. And so often they'll throw that out. You know, well, boy, it looks like we're ready for Armageddon.
Mm-hmm. You know, and you can talk about, you know, the Green New Deal and climate, you know, this and climate that. I'm going to tell you, it's just going to get worse. It's just going to get worse. That is God's plan. I believe the question is, when all of this is going on, where will you be? My friends, you might be driving along or just waking up to the radio this morning. What is your relationship to God? I'm not asking you if you're a Baptist or if you're a nice person. I want to know if you know Jesus Christ personally. Do you have the assurance, and the wonderful assurance, that your sin is actually under the blood? That God's Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. You can't be thinking as you're driving along, well, I sure hope I am. No, you need to know that. And when you know that, you can know that no matter what happens or whatever comes, that you're ready to live or you're ready to die for Jesus Christ.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I have no idea what's coming down the pike. If the Lord tarries, we could be in, for as believers, in for more difficult times to really stand up and stand for our Lord Jesus Christ. So may we all be found faithful.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Let's stay that way. Pastor Greg, it's been great having you in the broadcast with us.
It's been my joy. Thank you so much.
So you, if we can be a help to you, give us a call here at Brookside. And if you don't have a church home, we'd love for you to come by and be with us. We want to see people know they can have that confidence that they're going to live with God one day. So have a great day, and if we can help, please contact us.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. If you have a question we can answer or would like information on the Word for Life, would like to donate to continue to produce this broadcast, or need resources for your Christian walk, contact us at Brookside Baptist Church, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin 53005. You can also visit us at brooksidebc.org. That's brooksidebc.org, or call us at 262-783-6180. That's 262-783-6180. Thanks for listening today, and please tune in again as we bring the Word of God to your life.